there. So good to be with you again this morning. As you know, if you've been following us, we've been doing our series called Fully Loaded, talking about all the things that we have been given in Jesus Christ, and that we need to be changing our perspective in relating to God and allowing the promises of God to flow through us. And Janu and Dee and Alfred have done a great job of laying a foundation of what it is that we have in Jesus Christ. We've been looking at the main scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, and I'm going to read it out the Amplified Bible, and it says it this way: For His divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So Peter is saying that in the knowledge of God, when we know His glory and His excellence, through that personal knowledge, that personal interaction with God, we can have everything that is bestowed upon us. Every dynamic spiritual life, all godliness, everything has already been given to us. You know, many Christians believe that God can do anything, but many Christians don't believe that God has already done everything. You know, this was a big transition that I had to make in my belief system when I was an early Christian. And going from this place where I was always asking God to do things to the realization that God has already done everything in His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, when He hung upon the cross, He said, "It is finished. The work is done. The work is completed." And that if He gave you His Son, why will He withhold anything else? No, He has already given us everything. And this is what it's saying in this portion of Scripture, that we have been. This is a past tense thing. When you received Christ, you have received everything that came with Him. You have received an inheritance. You have received all things pertaining to life and godliness. So we are often trying to get God to do something instead of persuading our hearts of what God has already done. And there are many Christians who are moving from church to church, or going from revival to revival, going from prayer meeting to prayer meeting, waiting for God to still do something, and instead of realizing that they already have it and that God has already done what He has said that He was going to do. The only thing that we are lacking is knowledge in what Christ has already done, that we are living in a new covenant, a new will that has already been declared, that we have already received an inheritance. In Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3, it says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So He's saying this has already been done. It says He has already blessed us. The word blessed there means to be spoken well of, or to be have a blessing declared upon you. So you see that you have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And you might be saying, yes, but are they in the heavenly places? But the Bible says that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. As it says in verse 4, it says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. So asking for God to bless me is counterproductive, because the Bible says that He has already blessed me. So if I'm sick in my body, it's not about God trying, or getting God to try and heal me. It's about persuading my heart that by His stripes I am healed, that God has already healed me. Everything that God was going to do, He's deposited the package within me. The Zoe life of God is already inside of me. So now it's about getting my heart persuaded of what I already have inside of me, rather than me coming to God begging Him to do something. God has already done it. He's already deposited healing within me. If I'm looking for healing, am I looking for health, it's about persuading my heart that I already have health and healing within me. And once my heart is persuaded of what I have, then it begins to flow in my body. It's counterproductive for me to go, God, please, will You bless me? No, God has already blessed me. The Bible says that I've been blessed in Christ Jesus, that He has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. He's already declared it. He's already spoken a blessing upon me. It resides within me. Now it's about persuading my heart of the fact that God has already blessed me. So this is not me trying to get victory. This is me starting from the place of victory, knowing that I already am blessed, knowing that I already am victorious, knowing that I already have all things to conquer in life and to reign in life, knowing that it resides within me. Now it's just about me persuading my heart of what I already possess. So every spiritual blessing is within me. So everything that I need in this life, the Bible says, all things pertaining to life and godliness, everything that I need to live a life, a godly life, a spiritually blessed and healthy life, already resides within me. So this is not about me trying to persuade God to do it for me. This is about persuading my own heart that God has already done it. So what he's saying here is healing has already been provided. The comfort of God's Spirit has already been provided. Blessing, financial provision has already been provided. Joy and peace, a stress-free life has already been provided because it's down inside of me. So many people are saying, well, Lord, please, will you come? Well, God has already come. He came in the power of his Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus said, he said he was going to, when he left this earth, he said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. Well, the Comforter hasn't left. He's still with us. It's about acknowledging the truth of God's word, where Jesus said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So now it's about persuading my heart that he is with me and that I am never alone. So it's about my heart connecting to what God has already done and what he has already given. In Galatians chapter 5, it says that there is love and joy, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance are all inside of me. It's right in my spirit. So, you know, many people come and say, well, I just don't feel the love of God. Well, the love of God has already been shed abroad in your heart. So now it's about persuading your heart that you are loved of God, that he wants you to experience that. But you've got to believe it in your heart. You've got to believe it first and say, I believe that God loves me, and begin to persuade your heart that you are loved, that what he has said in his word is true to you. So God loves you whether you feel like it or not. And he's never going to change his mind concerning you. So it's about you believing the truth of what he has declared, that you have been chosen, that you've been accepted, that you are loved and qualified because of his Spirit. So when you know that everything has been given to you, you move from struggle and you move out of condemnation into this place of acceptance and truth. It takes you out of this legalistic mindset of thinking that I need to do things into a place of peace. It removes doubt from your heart because you know that you've already received something. When we come to church, are we asking the Lord to do things that he's already done, instead of acknowledging that he has done something and entering into the place of rest? And that is what God has asked us to do. He asks us, enter into the place of rest, persuade your heart that I've already done it, and you will see that your circumstances change because you are connecting to a finished work rather than trying to get God to do something which he's already done. Why do we, when we come to services, ask God to come to us instead of acknowledging that God is present and that he is with us and that he will never leave us nor forsake us? So one of the ways that you can begin to connect to the promises of God is to acknowledge that they are true and to begin to use your mouth to persuade your heart of certain things. In Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, it says it this way, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for the sake of Christ. So he's saying that we need to acknowledge every good thing which we already have within inside of us. So he says that my faith becomes effective. My faith begins to work when I begin to acknowledge every good thing that is within me. When I begin to acknowledge that this is a finished work, that I'm no longer trying to get God to do something. I'm actually acknowledging. The word acknowledge there means to make a profession of, to acknowledge as true, to agree with, to make a profession of, make a declaration of, to speak of these things. I need to be speaking and acknowledge that I already have every good thing within me. And the Bible says that is when my faith becomes effective. There are many Christians who are trying to get more faith. And this is not about getting more faith. Faith is about persuasion. This is about persuading my heart that I already have everything that God said that He would give me in His Son, Jesus Christ. So you've got to start acknowledging that you have it. Start acknowledging what the Word says that you have everything inside of you. This is so much easier, and it is so much better than begging and pleading God to do something. He's already done it. And it's about me taking a step of faith by trusting that God has already deposited it within me. So I want to just leave you with three things this morning on how you can get this to work. How you can get what God has already given you and deposited within you, begin for that to get to work in your life. Well, we started already by saying you need to acknowledge it. But you need to acknowledge that God is your source. In Genesis 22 verse 14, this is talking about Abraham and Isaac, where Abraham made this declaration because he'd encountered God as his provider, and he made this declaration that He is Jehovah Jireh. It says it this way in verse 14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. As it is said, to this day in the Lord's mountain it will be provided. So Jehovah there is talking about the self-existent or eternal Lord. Talking about that God is self-sufficient in who He is. The all-sufficient one. The one who is Lord of all. And then he says Jireh, who in the Hebrew there is talking about the one who sees and provides. So if you know the story, Isaac was going to be sacrificed by Abraham, but God wasn't looking for Abraham to sacrifice his son. He was looking to see if he would trust God. And he provided a ram when he needed a ram. So if we take this thing literally, is God the one now providing rams for us? Do we need to go looking for rams? No, that's not the context of what he's saying. He's saying he's the one who sees and provides. He sees what you have needed and he has already provided. He's already provided it. God is the source who dwells within you. His Spirit dwells within you. So you have everything that you need. If you need, well, what is he going to provide? He provides whatever you need. If you need wisdom, he has provided wisdom. If you need healing, he has provided healing. If you need financial provision, he has provided financial provision because he is your source. You know, so often we are looking to our own plans instead of trusting God in these things. And we're going to look at how you can trust God and the steps that you can take. In 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 in the Amplified, it says, yet for us there is only one God, the Father, who is the source of all things. So how do I access these things? Well, I've got to know that God is for me and that His promises are for me. In 2 Corinthians 1:20 it says, for all the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him amen to the glory of God through us. So I've got to know that God's promises for me are yes and amen and not maybe. Many times we come to God, well, maybe do this. Well, is it His will? No, He said that His promises are yes and amen. So if you can find a promise in God's Word, His answer to you is yes, because it was given to you in Christ. So if God says you are blessed, why are we arguing and pleading for Him to bless us? Instead of acknowledging and believing the truth that I am blessed and persuading our hearts of that and then walking it out. You know, this is where I'm trusting God as my source, that He dwells within me. And it's when I can start listening to the voice of the Spirit as He begins to lead me into a life of that blessing. I just want to use Jacob as an example. In Genesis 29, from verse 18, this is the story of Jacob when he loved Rachel, and his father Laban gives him Leah, and he works 7 years, and Laban deceives him, and then he works another 7 years for Rachel. Man, he must have really loved Rachel to work 14 years for this woman. But let's read from verse 18. It says, now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than to give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him like only a few days because of his love for her. Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar, almond, and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white that was in the rods. So let me give you some context here. Jacob said to Laban, Laban, I want to go out on my own. He said, I've been serving you all this time, and I've been looking after your flocks, and they've prospered, and they've grown strong, and I made you a wealthy man. He said, but I want to go out on my own. So then Laban, and then he came to Laban, and he said, listen, give me some of the flock so that I can go out on my own. And Laban said, okay, well you can have, or Jacob said to him, you can have, I will take all the speckled sheep, and you can keep all the plain colored ones. And Laban thought, man, that's a great idea, because the speckled ones he didn't really want. And then this is where he says here from verse 37, then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar, almond, and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white that was in the rods. He set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks in the drinking troughs, that is, in the watering channels where the flocks came to drink, and they mated when they came to drink. So the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks delivered striped, speckled, and spotted offspring. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban, and he put his own herds apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Moreover, when the stronger of the flock were mating, Jacob would place the rods in the sight of the flock in the drinking troughs so that they would mate by the rods. But when the flock was sickly, he did not put them in. So the sickly were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. So the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. So he's saying here that the idea that Jacob gave was given by God was when the sheep were mating, that he would put striped and speckled bark in the troughs so that when the animals saw those things and they were heightened in their emotions, and he said when they began to see those things, that the strong animals were those who were striped and speckled, and those were the ones that he put inside for himself. So what he was saying there, I mean, this is an example of how to persuade our hearts. Information, what we see, plus emotion begins to write things on our heart. If it can work for animals, I'm sure it can work for us. That when we take the truth of God's words and we begin to connect it in our hearts by seeing the finished work, the finished effect of what we are seeing in God's word, we begin to write beliefs on our heart. And the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. So it's when I begin to take information and connect it to emotion that I begin to write beliefs upon my heart. And that is what worked for Jacob. And the Bible says that he became exceedingly prosperous by just taking one small idea. My friend, this is about you trusting God as your source, trusting that He's deposited everything within you, and then following the leading of His Spirit. This would seem like such a small idea. Place bark in water in front of the animals when they mated. Now, I'm sure that the other shepherds must have thought, this guy's loony. But by following a simple idea given to him by God, he was made exceedingly prosperous. Friends, as you begin to acknowledge the truth that you are blessed, as you begin to acknowledge the truth that you have all things pertaining to life and godliness, as you begin to entertain the idea that God has deposited all that you need within you, and you open up your heart to the leading of God as the one who is your source, that you have all things, that you can begin to walk out your prosperity and your healing and your blessing, what happens is your heart begins to open up to the leading of the Spirit of God. As you begin to dwell on the promises of God, ideas begin to spring up within you, and you can begin to follow the leading of God. You know, many times people are waiting for this massive sign to come out of somewhere to show them where the blessing of God is. No, the blessing of God is within you. Now it's about saying, God, you are my source. Thank you that you are going to lead me step by step into my blessing, my healing, my prosperity. And having your heart open to the leading of God. Don't look for these massive big ideas coming out of somewhere. Oftentimes there are these very small ideas that spring up within you because you know you are blessed. But that is the starting point. The starting point is to acknowledge that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. The starting point is to acknowledge the truth that you have been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. If you need healing in your body right now, it's about opening up your heart and saying, Lord, I'm going to trust the fact that I am already healed, and I thank you that you're going to lead me to the right people, the right diet, the right medicine, what the right whatever it might be, so that you can walk your healing out. For many times, as you begin to do that, you won't even need the medicine because you will allow the healing that is within you to begin to flow. So, my friend, this is about connecting to what God has already deposited within you. Take the truth of what God has already done and connect it to your heart. God has done His part. Now it's about us agreeing and coming into congruence with God, coming into harmony with God, coming into agreement with what God has already done and deposited within me. So God has already forgiven you. God has already healed you. God has already said that He loves you. God has commanded His blessing upon you. He's given you love, joy, peace, everything that you need. So this is not about me trying to get God to respond to me. This is me taking a step of faith and responding to what God has already done in His Son Jesus Christ and what He's already deposited within me. This is so powerful. And I think that many people miss it because they still are trying to get victory instead of acknowledging that I already have victory inside of me. You know, your confession is so important because your confession begins to persuade your heart. And the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. You can start making a declaration of life over your body. You can start making a declaration that you are blessed over your finances and your circumstances. As you begin to start those confessions, your heart begins to persuade it. And friend, no one's going to do that for you. No one's going to do that for me. There are times when I've seen my circumstances and I'm overwhelmed by lack and the sense of lack. And that's the time when I need to start making a bold confession of what God has already declared over me. Instead of coming to God, oh, begging, woe is me, oh Lord, please will you bless me. No, start acknowledging the truth that God has already blessed you. And I have to do that often, friends. So we are all in the same boat here. We need to start connecting to what God has already done inside of us rather than trying to beg God to do something. This is not a matter of me trying to get God to move. This is about me moving into the place of what God has already done for me. My second point in how to get this to flow is not to get offended by what God has already done, you know, or not to allow offense to hinder me from experiencing what God wants to do. So often we come to God with our justifications. We come to God with our good works. We come to God with our self-effort, trying to justify why God still needs to do something, rather than acknowledging the truth. And we get offended in our hearts because God doesn't want to do it our way. This is not about God trying to do it my way. This is about me doing it God's way. Amen. So let's not get offended. And I want to take the story of the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 and take one or two points out of this. From verse 17, it says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do so that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth. Looking at him, Jesus showed love to him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. But he was deeply dismayed by these words. And he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at these words. And Jesus responded again and said to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were even more astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. So here we have this rich young ruler. And Jesus asks, or he comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And inheritance is based on somebody else doing something and leaving me something in their will. So the question is a bit faulty. But Jesus then asks him a question. He says, well, what does the law command? Yeah, this is a guy who has good morals. He's following the law. He's a good, kind man. He's done 8 out of 10. But yet the Bible says that he came to Jesus seeking eternal life, knowing in his heart, man, there's still something missing. Even though I'm doing all these good things, even though I have wealth, even though I have property. So he's saying, even though he was a morally good man, even though he had wealth, he knew that there was something missing. And he comes to Jesus saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's like, I'm doing all of these good things. I have a lot of money, yet, man, there is still something missing. It still feels like I am not connected to eternal life. And Jesus said something powerful. He said, sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow me. Now, this is not about you and I giving away all our possessions. This is about lordship. This is about surrendering my heart to Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, oftentimes when God begins to ping our hearts, we come to him with our justifications, like this rich young ruler. But Lord, look at all the good things that I'm doing. Lord, look, I do have, you've blessed me financially, so I have some sort of security. But those things never ever connect us to the kingdom. Remember, the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is about being surrendered to another kingdom, to another king. And that's why Jesus is saying, give that away and follow me. This is about lordship. This is about me coming to the place where I'm not coming to God with all of the good things, saying, Lord, I want to justify myself. This is why you need to answer this prayer. Because I've been good. Look, I've done 8 out of 10. Look here, I put money in the offering. Seeking to justify ourselves, wanting God to do something which he has already done. Friends, we can't come to God with this basis of, well, if I do these things, then I can get God to bless me. See, that is just me staying in unbelief and not surrendering to his lordship. That is not me coming and saying, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. You know, how often do we come to God saying, well, Lord, I want you to bless what I'm doing. Do it my way, Lord. No, this is surrendering to his lordship means that I'm not going to justify myself waiting for God to do something. Surrendering to his lordship means that I'm surrendering to his way, which means that I need to persuade my heart of what God has already done and stop justifying myself waiting for him to do something which he's already declared he has done. This is about surrendering my opinions to the opinion of God's word. This is about me surrendering my life to what Jesus Christ has already done as my Lord and my Savior, and coming to him saying, Father, I'm coming to lay everything down. I'm laying my opinions, I'm laying my good works, I'm laying my finances, hello. I'm laying everything down for you, Jesus, and I'm going to follow you into eternal life, into the Zoe life of God, where you are Lord of all, which means that I can't get offended. You know, this rich young ruler, the Bible says he was dismayed and he walked away grieved. Now, Jesus is all and perfect love. Jesus is merciful and kind, yet to this man, he must have seemed like a legalist and he must have seemed hard. But that is not the truth. The Bible says that Jesus loved him and then spoke to him. See, this even dismayed the disciples, because Jesus then said, you know, it is very difficult for somebody who is trusting in their riches to experience the kingdom of God or enter into the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. A life free from anxiety. A life free from depression. A life free from ego. A life free from self-effort means that I need to be submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ and experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. It's not about these external things. The kingdom of God is within you, and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. How would you like to live a life free from worry, free from stress, free from anxiety, free from depression, free from the effects and circumstances of the world? Well, the Bible says that you can do that when you are surrendered completely and submitted to Jesus and you're following him rather than justifying yourself through your good works, your money, or whatever else you think is going to satisfy you. It never satisfied this young man. This is about submitting to Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished on the cross of Calvary when he said that the work is completed. I want to encourage you to come back to the Word of God where it says that he has already given you all things pertaining to life and godliness, that he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. By his stripes you were healed, that you have already been forgiven, that the love of God has been shed abroad within you. The fruit of the Spirit abides within you. You have everything that God has given in His Son Jesus Christ. And it's about connecting to what He has done, rather than coming to God trying to justify why you want Him to do something, but rather submitting to His Lordship and doing it His way, rather than you doing it your way, waiting for God to bless you. When I begin to submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus, I start to enter into the Zoe life of God, because I'm doing it God's way. I'm not doing it my way, waiting for God to bless it, but surrendering to Him and asking Him to lead me from the inside out, and submitting to the ideas and the steps that He asks me to take. And by so doing it, I'm doing it God's way. So we'll continue this discussion next week as we can learn how to enter into what God has already done for us. But this week, use your mouth. Begin to make a confession. Begin to acknowledge that every good thing has already been put within you, and begin to declare it, and your faith. Friends, always remember that you are loved of God, that He loves you compassionately, that He loves you passionately, that He loves you because He is love, and that you are highly favored and accepted of God. Have a great week.